Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May God bless to us the reading of his own word, for Christ's sake. Now I want to bring to you this evening one of the shortest messages the Master ever preached. One of the shortest messages the Master ever preached. Just a message of 17 short, simple words. And not only one of the shortest messages, but I think you will agree with me, one of the sweetest messages the Master ever preached. This message. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of the shortest, and undoubtedly one of the sweetest messages the Master ever breathed. Now let me deal with the wording first of all. It's very simple, isn't it? Come unto me. You know, that's what we preachers call the plainness of the message. You couldn't miss that. You don't even need to pass the 11 plus to understand that. Jesus is standing in the midst of the multitude, and he can see the baffled, burdened, bewildered sons of Adam's race, and he holds out his hands to every burdened soul, and he just says, come unto me. You can't miss that, surely. That's the plainness of the message. You see, you're not invited to come to a party, to join a party, a particular party, to get this rest. No. You're invited to a person. You don't get God's rest by joining the Baptists. No, you don't find it in a party. No, you're invited to a person. Let's keep it just in its simplicity. You're not asked to join another place or come to another party or go on a pilgrimage or pay pounds. It's as simple as this. Come unto me. That's what we preachers call the plainness of the message. And then listen to the rest of it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now that's what we preachers call the broadness of the message. There is no burdened, baffled, bewildered soul left out. All ye that labor. Now that's the broadness, you're included. If you're burdened, or baffled, or bewildered tonight, may the Lord Jesus invites you. You're included in the all. That's the broadness of the message. And listen to the wording again. Come unto me, that's the plainness of the message. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, that's the broadness of the message. And I will give you. That's the sureness of the message. Yet when our Lord Jesus Christ says, I will give you, then you can bank on that. You can take him at his word. You can rest on that word of his. This is something that can never waver. This is something that can never be broken. If the Lord breaks one of his promises, then he shall be Lord no longer. This is absolutely sure. You can bank on this. This is better than a pound note. This is the word of the Lord. This is the Lord's promise. This is absolutely sure. So that we have looked at the text, and we have found the plainness of the message, and we have found the broadness of the message, and we have found the sureness of the message. There is just one word to go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, that's the sweetness of the message. That's what you call expounding the text. And that's not what I want to do, of course. I think it's a good thing to expound the text. But I think it's a dangerous thing, because there is a very great danger of you being only occupied with the text. And I don't want you to get occupied only with the message, you know. I want you to get occupied with the man behind the message. Because unless you get that, you'll miss the whole thing. Friends, sometimes I'm challenged by some of the enemies of the cross. And they say to me, can you prove from this Bible that Jesus Christ is God? And that gives me the greatest delight in the world. And there are so many angles that I can go to prove that Jesus Christ is God. But one of the angles that I love is just taking up some of these exceptional sayings of the Master. You know, it is true that never man spake like this man. I want you to think that he's standing and he's looking at all the burdened, baffled, bewildered sons of Adam's race, and yet he's holding out his hands and saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. Unless he's God, he can't talk like that. Just fancy one of the great surgeons from the Royal coming to this platform and inviting all the burdened souls in Belfast to come and promising them, come, I will give you rest. You would know the man's a fool. He can't do that. And if we had good old Churchill back here and all his eloquent oratory and mastery of the English language, if he should come and say, come unto me, and I will give you rest, you would know he was playing the fool. This is a mighty statement, you know, because there are a tremendous lot of different kinds of burdens that come upon the hearts and souls of the sons and daughters of Adam's race, and the man behind the message is quite capable of dealing with every kind of burden and giving you rest that is rest indeed. Now we've got to look at this very carefully, haven't we? You know, here is a burden that comes upon the souls of some of the sons and daughters of Adam's race. I don't know if you've ever seen a soul burdened with the guilt of the sins of the past. And I assure you that I've seen many of them. And it's a tremendous thing, you know, when somebody begins to feel in the very depths of their souls the guilt of all the sins of the past, and the guilt is pressing them down now like a heavy burden. I've seen this, you know. I went to have a mission at a place not very far from here, a little over 20 years ago. And I arrived on the Saturday, and the old deacons of the church, you'll excuse me for calling you old deacons, but that's what I call you anyway. And the old deacons of the church, they put me into a lovely little bungalow to live for 3 weeks with a couple who were just home that morning from their honeymoon. I don't know what they were thinking on, but there it is, it's none of my business now. And you know, this young couple really did everything they could to make me at home. And the young bride's old mother, she must have been well over 60, maybe coming 70, then she was living with them. And she was a real old dear. I wish I could describe her to you. She was always immaculately dressed, and her silver hair was so neat, and her face, it was shining. She was a real old dear, and we used to have real times together. I used to read to her in the morning. She brought me a cup of tea, and I used to read to her and expound a few phrases, and we became great friends. And one day I'm just leaving the front of the little bungalow to go way up into the hills to have an hour or two of prayer, and she came to the front door, stood on the steps, and she said, you know, you slip away every day at this time, and you would never think of taking me with you. And I've been round too many corners, you know, to know that an old lady, nearly 70, doesn't come to the front door and say that for fun. And I didn't know what was in her mind, and I said, would you like to go someday? She said, you know, I'd love to go. All right, get your jacket on. Come on. I was taking her up on this, you know. And she got in the car, all right, and away we went, and as we went up into the hills, I prayed secretly to God. I talked away to her and prayed away to God at the same time. I'm well used with that. I pray and preach at the same time. And I prayed away and talked away and wondered what it was all about and asked God secretly to help me to deal with this old woman no matter what was coming. And when we got away into the hills, you know, she became quiet and I slowed up a little bit and said, what was on your mind when you left home? And then I could see the big tears rolling out onto her cheeks, and I pulled the car up into the side. I said, now, come on, you need to tell me, you know. And then she sobbed, the poor old soul, and she said, you know, I thought at last I had found somebody that I could really talk to. I thought I could tell you, but I can't tell you. I said, come on, now, you need help somewhere. You're burdened about something. Oh, she said, you'll never know, you'll never know. I said, come on, Granny, get it out of your soul and let me help you. And then it came out like a shot, you know. She said, you know, you think I'm a decent old woman, don't you? Well, when I was a young girl, I sold my body on Belfast Street to the harlot. I've got babies and I don't know where they are. And that shocked me, you know. I didn't expect that. Then she looked at me and she tear-stained now. She said, oh, you know me now, don't you? What are you to say to me now? This was a soul burdened with the guilt of the sins of the past. And what a burden. She was bowed down beneath her burden. It was just guilt. Guilt, guilt that was bowing her down. She couldn't see a way out. She couldn't get rid of it. What are you to say to me now? I said, God's got a lot to say to you, Granny. Have a look at this. That's Isaiah chapter 1 there. And that's verse 18 there. And it reads like this. You just read it for me. And it reads like this. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. She read it twice. She said, is God saying that? I said, yes, God's saying that. It says that there. Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Yes, it's God saying. She said, Mr. Mullen, how can God do this? Oh, I said, that's right. That's just exactly what he wants to talk to you about. He says, come now, let us reason together. He wants to talk it over with you. You see, I said, dear, you've missed this completely. You're a poor, desperate sinner, bowed down with scarlet stains. But God loves you. And God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, who left the heights of yonder glory and came to the cross and went there, and as the Lamb of God, he became the sacrifice for sin. And the precious blood that was shed is still efficacious just now to remove every stain. And if you come and put your trust in Christ, God, through the blood of the Lamb, can make you whiter than the snow. Oh, God can remove the burden. You see, the reason the Lord Jesus can look and say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is just this, that behind the text stands one who is the Lamb of God, and who shed drops of ruby blood, blood that is efficacious, blood that has power, blood that can cleanse, blood that can purge. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Tackle it if you like. I believe it. Friends, this is a mighty thing. You know, they had the Parliament of Religions in America some years ago. All kinds of queer things in America. But this was what was called a Parliament of Religions. It just simply meant this, that all the religions in the world had a few hours each day to preach their own doctrines and the fundamental truths that they believed. And of course there was a debate in America whether the Christians should be represented or not. But old Dr. Cook of Boston, who was a great expositor, he didn't ask anybody's permission, but he went to the Parliament of Religions. And he went, as he said, to represent the Christians. Now, they had to draw lots for who would speak first, second, third, fourth, and so on, and there were about 53 of them preached. And as the draw went, old Dr. Cook was drawn last. And you know, it is said that when the gentleman who represented the Mohammedans and Muhammad had spoken for about an hour and a half with great eloquence and oratory, that he moved the whole auditorium to tears. And some who were there thought that Cook had made a great mistake here. And then when the gentleman who spake for Confucius had spoken, he really outdid the Mohammedan preacher. And everybody was sure that Cook was going to be tightened up. And when it came to the end of the week and they'd all preached, it was now well known that Cook was in a tight corner. And when the moment came for old Dr. Cook to preach, the old wizard stepped to the rostrum and he just looked round the great auditorium and everybody was waiting. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pretending as I stand here that I've got a woman by my side. And this woman is a scarlet, down and out sinner. Her hands are stained with human blood. she has taken life. She has been in every conceivable form of sin known to the human race. She's a double-dyed, desperate, scarlet, wretched sinner. I want to ask Confucius if he has any answer to removing this woman's burden. And then he just waits. He said, I want to ask the Mohammedans, can they remove the guilt of sin? And he tackled every religion, because there is no religion in the world outside our wonderful Christianity that has the answer to the guilt of sin. And as old Dr. Cook challenged them one by one, then he turned his face upward and he said, John the Apostle, art thou in heaven? And then he waited to hear the answer coming. Yes, I'm here. John, is there any answer to this? What can remove the guilt of the sins of the past? And as if it was floating down from heaven, this quotation came. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See that book I'm reading out of? It says there in this book, without shedding of blood, there is no pardon. And if you read what goes before the text and what comes after, it actually means this. Without shedding of Christ's blood, there is no pardon. And it actually means this. Without shedding of Christ's blood in sacrifice, there is no pardon. Friends, the man behind the text can hold out his hands to every burdened, baffled, bewildered soul bowed down with the guilt of the sins of the past and say, come, and I will give you rest. Bless his name. But you know, folks are not only burdened about the guilt of the past. Folks are burdened sometimes about the fear of the future. You know, unfortunately, I'd be called out in the middle of the night sometimes and many times, and I go to the hospital and I sit or I kneel beside a soul passing into eternity. And I've been there hundreds of times. And I know, you know, that folk who have no assurance for the future and who are not prepared to meet God, you know, as the cold, clammy hand of death comes upon the vitals of the being, why, they're frightened. They're burdened with the fear of the future. I wonder, have you ever seen a soul burdened with the fear of the future? You know, I had a gospel mission in Lisburn, I don't know how many years it was ago. It was a great time there, God was blessing. And they came in, you know, a few teddy boys. And I'm very friendly with all the teddy boys. My hair's nearly as long as theirs, so it doesn't matter. The reason that my hair's as long as theirs is that I can't get time to get mine cut, that's all. Now, I've no quibbles at all. You know, folk are always saying something about the young folks these days. A bit of fun out of an old Methodist the other day. She said to me, you know, it's ridiculous the way they run about now with long hair. I said, you know, John Wesley had long hair. Didn't see Wesley's photograph, but it was down on his shoulders. That's all. Often you just get too quick, you know. We go through phases and periods. Bless the young, we need to love them. And I think if we learn to love them, everything will be all right. I love them. And I shall go on loving. And you know, friends, I had this mission, and a row of these lads came in, and there's a little devil in the middle of them. You could see his eyes shining. And he just kept them in an uproar the whole time, you know. And I wasn't having that, that's all. So I don't usually leave the platform. I just wait here when I preach. But this night I went down, and they're coming out, and I got the hold of this wee fellow with the twinkle eyes and held onto his hand, and I said, "Hello, what's your name?" Well, he said, "Never you mind, let me go." I said, "Not a bit of me, I'm holding on to you." I said, "You know, I think we'd better get this thing squared out. I'm trying to work for God. You're working for the devil, whether you know it or not. The two of us can't work in this place, as one of us has got to go. And I can assure you it's you." And the real chat with him, said many more things to him, but he's a decent wee character. Said to me, "Mr. Mullen, I didn't see this just like this. If you allow us to come back, we'll conduct ourselves." I said, "That's it." And they came and they conducted themselves. But I was away just about 6 months from that mission, away at Derry, and I got a phone call one day. This little character was dying, and he wanted to see me. And I shall never forget this, you know. I came to the hospital to see him, and apparently he had cancer, and it was at a stage where now he was only bones and flesh. His cheeks were hollow, his eyes were glazy, and his bones were sticking through his skin. Poor little fellow, there was no more twinkle. And when I went into the room, you know, he was frightened. He was actually trembling in the bed, and he said, "Mr. Mullen, I always remember how I did the things wrong. I'm afraid to die." I'd got a little fellow with me now, and he was burdened about the fear of the future. Wonder how you die. Maybe you're not very far from the spot, you know. Going to die. Die you will be. Jesus tarries. You're shaking in the bed. And I got down beside him and opened this book. And I let him see that God sent his son who went to Calvary and paid that tremendous price and rose again the third day as what? As the great shepherd of the sheep. And when you come and put your trust in his hands and leave your life in his care, you know, even though you must pass through the valley of the shadow of death, you can do it without fearing any evil, for he'll be there and he'll take you through into the land that's fair and day and place you in the house of the God forever. You know, friends, he was led to the Lord that day and the burden rolled away. You know, I want you to see this. This is the bit that I'm after. That the man behind the text can hold out his hand and say, "Come, and I will give you rest," because he's the Lamb of God. And he can see all who are burdened about the future, and he can say, "Come, and I will give you rest," because he's the shepherd of the sheep. Well, let's see the person. Let's see the person. He's the Lamb. He's the leader. Bless God, he can remove burdens. Now, I think that I would be quite right in saying that the most of folks that I meet, not burdened too much about the guilt of the past, not burdened too much about the fear of the future, you know, they're burdened about the power of sin in the present. I think this is what burdens young folks. Sometimes a young fella comes to me and says, you know, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to be right about it. I don't want to make a decision and I don't want to profess I'm saved. Unless the Lord can keep me tomorrow and the next day and the next one. And he's got every right to say that, bless him. You see, sin's a powerful thing, isn't it? Of course, you know that when I lived out in the world and I begged from door to door and got drunk every night, you must really realize that I got into a lot of habits that were filthy and abominable and wouldn't bear printing on the wall tonight. And you know, the day that I stood before the Savior in rags and realized that I needed, oh, this is what really burdened me. How would the power of cancelled sin be broken? You know, I need someone to keep me tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And salvation is not salvation unless it saves from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. Ah, bless God, this is just the Savior we present. You know, I had a young school teacher came into the inquiry room one night. Quickly, she put her hands behind her and held the door. She said, I'm not arguing with you. Tell me the way to heaven. I said, all right, Jesus is the way. She said, you haven't got it, you know. You don't know what I mean. She said, how do I know that that's right? I said, Jesus is the truth, dear. She said, no, you haven't got it yet. Look, if I accept this, if I trust Christ, how will I live tomorrow? How will I really stand tomorrow in the evil day? How will I go on? I said, this, Jesus is alive. Ah, here's the answer to all your needs. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, that's the bit I love. You see, when we were born in this world, we were born at a distance from God. We were born in the kingdom of darkness. And we need a way back to God. We were born at a distance. Ah, but we were born dead, weren't we? Spiritually dead. We needed life. Jesus is not only the way. Jesus is not only the light, the truth. Jesus is the life. All that I could get this over to you. You know, the governor in the Crumlin jail is very good to me. I've got a book, it's in print just now, and my photograph is in the front of it. And he was saying to me the other day, you know, your photograph's in every cell in this place. I said, thank God it's only my photograph. But you know, he's very decent to me because he allows me to go there to preach to all the prisoners. And I assure you that when I go, all the prisoners turn up. And you know, I've always felt very humbled as I go there. I don't feel like swanking about there at all. Sometimes there are 400 men there. They've got a very fancy pulpit in that little place. And I always say, boys, I'm not preaching out of the pulpit. I'm just standing down here because I'm one of you. Only I'm the saved one. And I just stay among the men. And I was saying this to them the other day. And it really shocked them, scared the governor. I said, you know, it's not a new start in life you fellows need. I said, it's not a new start in life you fellas need. I said, it's a new life to start with you fellas need. That's different, isn't it? You know, a new start in life's turning over a new page. Hell, that's no use to you. I turned over a few new pages and blotted them the day I turned them over. Now, let's get this settled. Oh, that I could get this over to you. Oh, that God would help me. You know, friend, if you come to Christ and kneel at his feet
and calling him to save you. We're going to get this over. He gives you new life. And the life is Christ. Christ comes to live in here.
That'll be enough for tomorrow. It's Christ that has kept me. 31 years saved now. I want to say this to you. From I was 16 till I was 24, the horror of it. I never came home one night sober. Sundays included. You can just think of the chains that were around me. The day I was standing convicted, knowing that I needed to be saved. This is what burdened me. How will I get past the pub tomorrow? How would I get past the pub? Oh, I couldn't pass the pub if I'd got up and... but I can say this with my two hands up to God. And God's my witness. And I say this, I trust before His face. From the day that I trusted Christ to this moment, 31 years have rolled past, and I was never in the pub once. Who kept me? To Jesus. You know, friends, He rolled the burden away. He smashed the fetters. He set me free. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free. Free indeed. Oh, He can deal with the burden of the guilt of the past. He can deal with the burden of the fear of the future. He can deal with the burden of the power of sin in the present, because He's the life. The one behind the text is the Lamb whose blood can make you whiter than snow. He's the Shepherd who can take your hand and lead you through the valley of the shadow. And bless God, He'll be your life every day, giving you new thoughts, new powers, new desires, new ambitions. Oh, He'll make you a new creature on the way to the new Jerusalem. And you'll have rest. But you'll need to come to get it. An invitation going out from come unto me. You know, you could come to Him this evening and you could get rest and you could get life and you could get peace and pardon and power and forgiveness of sins and joy unspeakable and justification and reconciliation, and you could become one of God's sons and daughters. You would be adopted into the family. Oh, that you would come tonight. The only thing that's left for you to do is come. Will you come? And the only way you can come is to come believing. Just come believing that He'll keep the promise that He made. Go on, test Him out and see. He has promised in His own word that cannot be broken. Come unto me and I will give you, and that's absolutely sure. I will give you rest. Go on, challenge Him to your feet. Oh, that you would come depending on His word. You see, this is where you get faith. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the very promise that He has placed beneath your feet tonight can be the foundation of your faith. And standing on a promise given in His holy word, you can venture out tonight and come and say, Lord, take away every guilty stain and make me sure of that home over there, and give me life that will make me more than conqueror tomorrow. Lord, bless me with Thy great salvation. Will you come? You can, you know. A fella came in to me the other day, a big commercial traveler, and he said, you know, Mr. Moon, I agree with everything you say. I know that this is the mighty Savior, and I know that this is a great salvation, and I know that a lot of folks have got saved, and I know that God invites men to come and that Christ will receive sinful men. I know it all. But Mr. Mullen, you know, I can't come. I said, you're talking blathers. I thought you had a bit of sense. Do you think that God is asking you to do something you can't do? Don't dare to talk to me like that. You're fooling yourself. It's not that you can't come, it's that you won't come, stupid. That's it. If you tell me you can't come, you've researched your own heart deep enough, and this is your trouble. You won't come. Jesus said to the crowd on many occasions, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing, and you would not. It isn't that you could not, it's you would not. Ye will not come. That you might have life is a text in this book. Go on, own your trouble up. You won't come. But you can, you know. And you can do it very simply too. You know, I was preaching at Porta Voghi one evening when two policemen came to give their testimony. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And the big sergeant got up and he was a very simple character. He said, folks, this is how I got saved. I was just coming in from the beach one night, coming in through the front door, when I met my wife and my little girl, who's just 4 or 5, going down shopping. Little girl pulled her hand out of Mummy's and said, Mummy, let me stay with Daddy. And we said, all right. And they said she came in with me, and I got the gun off and opened up the tunic and sat down on the big chair, and she came and leaned on my knee and she said, Daddy, it's play at school. I said, I have to play, of course. And I said, all right, we'll play at school. And she said, Daddy, you be the teacher. He said, I played the teacher. I said, stand up straight now. And she stood up straight. I said, fold your arms. And quickly she folded her arms. I said, keep your head up. And she kept her head up. And then I asked her to spell so. And no. And this. And in. Two letter words that I knew she could rattle off. And she was so proud she could rattle them off. And just like a child would, she got fed up with it. And she said, Daddy, let's change. I'll be the teacher. And he said, I had to change. And she said, sit up straight, Daddy. I had to sit up straight. She said, fold your arms, Daddy. And I folded my arms. Keep your head up. And she said, I have to sit up straight. And she said, I'm not asking you to spell words. I'm going to teach you some poetry. This is how we'll do it. I will say a line, and you'll repeat it after me, Daddy. She said, I didn't know what was coming. And she stood up before me and said, just as I am without one plea. Said, I wondered where she got this, and then I thought maybe at the Sunday school. She said, say it, Daddy. And I said, just as I am without one plea. And she said, but that thy blood was shed for me. Very slowly, he said, I said, but that thy blood was shed for me. And she said, and that thou bidst me come to thee. He said, I hesitated, and then I said, that thou bidst me come to thee. And she said, O Lamb of God, I come. He said, I wouldn't say it. She waited, and she said, say it, Daddy. He said, I felt I was at the cross, and I felt that Christ was waiting for me, and I felt he was even inviting me, and I didn't want to come, and I didn't want to say it. He said, I was really cornered with her. And then she said, Daddy, if you don't say it now, you won't get full marks, mind you. And then at that moment, he said, Mummy came in through the door. And the situation was saved. We had our tea. Mummy took her up to bed and got her into bed. Mummy and I started chatting, and then Mummy went to bed. He said, I was left. He said, I felt I was at the cross. I felt that Christ was in the kitchen. I felt that the Savior was calling me now. That he was taking a dealing with me, and he was holding out his hands, and he was tenderly saying, come. And I knew the only answer, the only logical answer, the only truthful answer that I could give was, oh, Lamb of God, I come. He said, I didn't want to come. Friends would talk about me. The policemen at the station might laugh. And this all went through my mind. And he said, at 2 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, I fell on my knees in the floor, and I bowed before Christ, and I gave him my life. And I said, they can laugh if they want to laugh. But, oh, Lamb of God, I come. And he was saved. He said, you know, I was so happy. Everything was over now. I'd given my life to the Lord. I didn't care who knew. He said, I tiptoed upstairs and she was sleeping in the cot, and I pulled the blanket back. She was fast asleep. He said, with tears in my eyes, I said, oh, Lamb of God, I come. And in her sleep, she just opened her eyes. She was still sleeping. She said, Daddy, you'll get full marks now. When are you getting full marks? Mother, when are you getting full marks? Father, when are you getting full marks? Is it now? God said, come now. Jesus is holding out his hands. Now, the Spirit says, come. Will you come? Oh, that step of faith can bring you life and peace and joy and a home in eternity. Won't you come? God help you, and may God bless you.